You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferriesburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
I want to share a short message with you this morning. You know, I was driving here, and the Lord had told me to throw out the message I was planning, and I have a new message for you. So it's coming from the heart this morning. And I was like, this is not a message to really, like, I was telling God, I was like, it's not really a message to, like, promote missions. It's actually more of a message that if you were all missionaries, this is what I would tell you. And this is a message I would tell to a group of young missionaries. And so today you're all missionaries. And you're getting a message from the heart of how can we be effective as missionaries. You know, the Apostle Paul says this, these verses have been really critical to me in my life. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's up here. He says, when I came to you, he's talking now in the past tense, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. In fact, I came to you in weakness and great fear and trembling. See, you know, sometimes you view these us missionaries as these superheroes. We're going into these dangerous places or surrounded by Islamic extremists. I know I lived around terrorists. I know I've lived in a community where there's terrorists. In fact, there's terrorism, so I didn't know there was terrorists. And you think sometimes, oh, they're so courageous. No, we're not courageous. We come in sometimes with fear and trembling. The Apostle Paul said he came to Corinth in fear and trembling. And he said, you know what? When I came to you, I didn't have these wise strategies or all these, these persuasive words. He said, I resolved one thing, to know Jesus and to know him as the crucified Lord and Savior. And then just to make that Jesus known to you, and expect, so if we see then, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the power of God, so that your faith would not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. The missionaries are not the answer. There's nothing that special about us. We're normal people, but we're filled with the power of a supernatural God. And we believe that as we share Jesus, somehow, some way, Jesus will show up. So, the most important thing that we can do is to spend time with Jesus. Even if that means cutting back from other things. And so I would say, group of new missionaries, the most important thing you can do is spend extravagant time with Jesus. And when we do that, we're telling ourselves and the world that it doesn't depend on me, but it depends on him. So that when they come to faith, their faith will not rest on me. See, as missionaries, we have this principle. We want to see them become leaders and pastors of themselves so that we can kind of step away and they can lead themselves and the church can flourish. That's what the Apostle Paul did. He spent some time, he raised them up, and then he stepped away. So they need to rely on God's power, not mine. And so I want to look at a story from the Old Testament to illustrate this. So Exodus chapter 33. So you have the people of Israel. They have left Egypt. You know, they crossed over the Red Sea. Incredible. Boom. Mount Sinai. They have all this, these powerful encounters. And now they're wandering around in the desert now. And so we have Moses, their leader. And it's a story that Scripture shares about Moses. So Exodus chapter 33, verse 7. It says, now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp. And he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up and each... Oh, I lost it. I'm reading from here. Okay. When Moses entered the tent, I lost on the screen. Okay, however Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. When all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship each at his tent door. Thus, the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Beautiful. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. And so Moses built this tent. This is not, at first when I would read this story, I would think, oh, that's the tabernacle, right? Where they have the sacrifices and they have the Holy of Holies. But then I realized this is not the tabernacle. This is a separate tent that Moses built. And let me tell you, I don't think there were a lot of construction materials lying around. It wasn't easy to build a tent. And yet he said, I need a place to meet with God. And he built this tent where he would go and he would meet with the Lord. And so Moses had a place to meet with God. This is not the corporate tent. That was the tabernacle. This is the personal tent. You know, we all need a personal tent. And before we meet with God in the corporate tent, we need to meet with him in the personal tent. This is the corporate tent, so to speak, right? The gathering. We need this. But more importantly, I think we need that personal tent. And if we're relegating God to just this time on Sundays with the corporate body, that's not enough. Moses said, I need to know the Lord. I can't lead these people without it. I need that place. I need a place to meet with God. And he would go there and he'd meet God face to face. And when we set aside time to meet with God, apart from the busy schedule, and we just say, this is my time. I'm going to create a tent. I'm going to create a space. And actually, I think sometimes it's helpful to create a personal space, whether it's a certain chair you sit in every time, or I know some people, they literally go into their closet. Maybe some of you do that, to meet with God. It is crucial and important that we set a space, we set down the phone, we set down the devices, and we say, I'm going to meet with God right now. We need a tent. And when we do that, we're demonstrating to the world that our identity is not in our job. Our identity is not even in our family. Our identity is in God first. And that our home is not in this earth. Our home is in heaven. And when we spend time with our Heavenly Father, we're making a statement to the world around us and to ourselves that this is the most important relationship. And so we need to pitch a tent. We need to find a place to meet with God. We need God to move in our personal tent before he'll move into our corporate tent. And it's interesting. It says the tent was outside of the camp. So you had the camp of Israel, a million people, and he set it. It's interesting. They set it outside the camp. So Moses had to walk through the whole camp. Then the Jewish Talmud, which is kind of this tradition, says that the camp was about 5/8 of a mile outside the camp. So it just wasn't on the edge of camp. He still had to walk for a few minutes outside of the camp. And so it was apart from the busyness of life. I imagine if he had set it in the center of camp, he'd get distracted. People would come and bother him. But he set it aside. So maybe we need to find some time in our schedule where we know, okay, I got to get up a little earlier. Ooh. I gotta maybe go in this place and turn off the phone, maybe. We need to set it apart from the distractions of life. We need to create some separation. And sometimes part of that is it takes some time for our brain to declutter, right? Like you start praying, but then you think about this and think about this. And so we need to push away from distractions. Put aside the emails, put aside the phone, and meet with God. It's interesting, too. He even named his tent. It was called the Tent of the Meeting. So if you want to name your time, that's not a bad idea. One preacher I heard said he calls it his appointment with God. So if people call him and say, hey, can we meet at this time? He said, sorry, I got an appointment. doesn't tell him he's meeting with appointment with God, but he's like, this time every day I have an appointment with God. It's on his schedule. Whatever it is, you can name it. And as Moses spent time in the tent, a beautiful thing happened. He actually started to hunger for God more, to want to know God more. You want to know how you grow your desire for God? You spend time with him. And even if you're like, oh, that's kind of awkward, that's weird, you know. I was thinking about this morning. Does anybody ever say, they're like, man, I'm an expert at prayer? I think we all pray and go, man, I don't really know how to pray. Like, I don't know, it's weird sometimes, or I get distracted. Like, and I think that's the point, because we're supposed to go to God needy. Say, God, I need you. I don't know how to do this. Help me. Help me. The disciples said, hey, Jesus, teach us how to pray. He said, here's a way to pray. Our Father who art in heaven. He taught the prayer. I think God is pleased with someone who has a heart and says, God, I'm just here, and I know I need you. I don't know what to pray about. Help me. And I think that's the point, that we need to remain helpless before him. And so we come into his presence, and as we get to know him, we hunger for more. We want to know him more. And so it's like getting to know God is like an astronaut. I've never been an astronaut myself, but I imagine they look at the planet, right? It's really beautiful and blue, and they say, wow, it's beautiful. It's like looking at God from a distance. We can still see he's beautiful. But as we zoom in closer, we say, oh, wow, I didn't see those mountains from far away. Or, oh, it's a desert there, a forest. I couldn't see. And as you get closer, you're like, oh, wow, like, look at, there's trees. I couldn't see trees from so far away. And all those trees have different colors. And as you get closer, oh, look at the flowers on the tree. And as you get closer, look at the bee that's sitting on the flower of the tree that's so beautiful. And as we get closer to God, there's more and more and more we see, and it's more beautiful and more wonderful and more glorious. But my plea to you is, don't be content at looking at him from outer space. Come and see the beauty of who he is. Spend time in his presence. Spend time in his word. And we have to fight for it. I've got a 6-month baby. I'm reeling with, oh, my life is very different now, right? I think new parents, right? And I said, how can I spend time with Jesus? I want to in this season. And I just determined that when my baby wakes up at 5 in the morning and I'm feeding him a bottle, he's on bottles now, we're going to read the Bible together. And so I got the bottle. Now he holds the bottle kind of awkwardly. And I'm sitting there, and I read the word out loud to him. And I've determined in his first year of life, he's going to hear the whole Bible in that first year of life. And then I pray over that scripture, over him and over our family. And I'm spending time with Jesus with my son. It does, yes, I said get away from distractions, but there are some life stages and lifestyles that you just got to do the best you do as well. And so find ways, creative ways to spend time with Jesus. If you can have that alone time, do that. And actually, me and my wife, sometimes I say, okay, you go, you know, you have this hour, go. And I have this hour, you know, we try to do that as well. But I've also said, this is too important for me just to not meet with him. I'm going to find ways to meet with God. And as we get to know him, we're hungering for more. And my plea to you is, don't watch other people go to the tent. Now, some of the people, it says, interestingly enough, some stayed in the camp and they watched Moses go. But others, it says, followed him out and worshiped God. Don't stay in the camp. Don't watch other people experiencing Jesus and miss it. Come and worship to him. And the beautiful thing is when you spend time in your tent and you're worshiping Jesus, God will move in your life and God will draw other people to worship him too. Like I said, there were people that followed Moses out and they would worship. He'd go in the tent and they would worship around the tent as the pillar came down. And as God's fire falls in your life, I will tell you, you'll be amazed at how his fire will touch other people. And they'll start drawing close to God as well. That's part of our mission strategy, that we spend time in the presence of Jesus, and then we go out into our communities, and we expect Jesus to move somehow. As we're falling more in love with Jesus, and we're getting closer. So this is amazing. We're getting closer and closer and closer to getting. We can't help but talk about him. We can't help but share about him. And then people start to sense the presence of God. Let me tell you something. I was reminded of this story this morning. My language teacher, when I was with Somalis, he, during our break time, would go into my bedroom, and there was a carpet, and he would do the Islamic prayer on my carpet in my bedroom. And so I would wake up early in the morning, and I would lay my face on that carpet, and I would worship Jesus. And I said, if he's going to pray the Islamic prayer, I'm going to pray for an encounter of Jesus here. It took some time, but about 2 years later, I got to baptize that guy. And then about 6 months after that, I moved the carpet into the living room at some point. And he was sitting in my living room. Maybe his feet, I'm imagining now, his feet were on that carpet when he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. When the fire falls in our life, we believe that it's not just touching us, it's touching others. You know, we go into these hard Islamic places. Islam is not going to bow itself before my strategies. Islam's not going to bow itself before my ideas or my intellect or my ability to speak. Islam will only bow before the King of Kings, Jesus, and his spirit needs to be full of me and full of you. Your neighborhood, your families will only be moved by the spirit of Christ dwelling in you fully, by the fire of God following in your life. And the last thing I want to look at, this last line is beautiful. It says, Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. And so Moses would leave the tent. His assistant, Joshua, is with him. And he would stay. He would linger in the presence of God. He did not assume that Moses' time with God was enough for him. And this little verse, I think, is the key to success for any young person. If you're a young person here, look at this verse. Your relationship with God does not depend on your parents. Your relationship with God does not depend on your pastor. And Joshua would linger in the presence of God. And I believe later the Bible says he had the spirit of leadership upon him. And he was one that followed Moses. After Moses died, he took up the role of leader, and he led them into the promised land. But his preparation was not in preparing for battle. It was not in studying leadership strategy. His preparation was in the tent, on his face before God. And if we do that, if we spend time in the presence of God, we will be prepared for whatever comes our way. And God will bring us into the promised land that he has for us. Every great person of God that you ever read about, every incredible missionary biography you ever read, there's one common line through it all. These were men and women who spent extravagant time seeking Jesus. Maybe they even did less ministry outside so they could have their ministry inside the tent. But when they went outside, they were effective. Every great person of God spent time with God. And there's this quote from E.M. Bounds about prayer. They were not leaders because of brilliancy of thought, because they were exhaustless in resources, because of their magnificent culture or native endowment, but because by the power of prayer, they could command the power of God. And if I come back in the future and tell you all these beautiful testimonies, I can tell you right now, it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Jesus. I feel so weak all the time. Again, missionaries, you sometimes think we're superheroes. No, again, we are super normal people. But we just spend time with Jesus. And then we go out with fear and trembling as we resolve to know Christ and him crucified. And then he empowers us to share some things, and he moves. And if he doesn't move, we trust that he's not moving. Because sometimes we're in places where the ground is very hard, spiritually speaking, and people have to come and kind of till the soil. But we're going to be faithful. And so my plea to you today as new missionaries, as young missionaries, old missionaries, build your tent. Find that place where you meet with God. The band, you guys can come up. Yeah, we'll find a time and a place outside of the camp, outside of your normal schedule, outside of the busyness and distractions. Protect it. Maybe give it a name. Value it. Keep going there day after day after day. If you don't feel the presence of Jesus when you're there, stay there. Some days you will, some days you won't. It doesn't mean God isn't there. And like Joshua, linger. Stay there. And I believe that as you're there, you'll be filled with the Spirit of God to be empowered for whatever Jesus has for you. For us, it's to build the church amongst the Sudanese. Not by our might, not by our power, but by the Spirit of God. So that, as the Apostle Paul said, their faith will not rest on us, but it will be completely dependent on Jesus. And if that's true in Sudan, it's true in Grand Haven, Muskegon, wherever you are. And God, I believe, will position you to take the promised land that he has for you as a church, as a family, and as an individual. Amen. And so as we close now, let's do that. Let's linger in the presence of God. Let's abide in his presence. And let's believe that the fire of God will fall on us and that we will be empowered to be his missionaries, his servants in this world. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and respond. The altars are open if you want to come forward, and let's draw near to God. And we know that in his word it says when we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. Amen. Lord, let us just be reminded in moments like this that your presence is always with us. Your presence always goes before us, Lord. Lord, that just as Moses had his tent of meeting, Lord, you also met with Moses in a burning bush on a side of a mountain, a bush that he probably walked by a million times, Lord. And we're going to leave this place. We're going to go back to our homes. We're going to walk out of these doors. We're going to go to our neighborhoods, Lord. But let us leave with new eyes that everywhere we walk is holy ground. Because we are people who are full of your presence and full of your Spirit, Lord. And let it not be something that we just sing about on Sunday morning. Let it not be something that we get our fill on for an hour or two a week, Lord. But let us continually draw close to you. Lord, we need you. Lord, we are thirsty for you. And so, Lord, we know that you'll fill us up now, but Lord, continually help us to draw close to you throughout the week. Let us not love you with just word and tongue, but with action and in truth. Let us be people whose lives are characterized by worship. Lord, we know as we leave this place, as your temples of the Holy Spirit, as we leave this place constantly walking on holy ground because we're full of you, Lord. Let it radiate to every person we come in contact with. Let us leave this place empowered by your Spirit as your missionaries, as your emissaries, as your ambassadors to a lost, hurting, and broken world. And Lord, we know that we can't do it without you. And we thank you that you go before us. Lord, we give you all the praise and glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. But God did not call us to stay here. Just as he called Moses to leave, he calls us to go as well. So let's go in God's grace today. Amen. Amen. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.